Yes, I can't find some. Austin Wellett, Can't Outlove Your Memory. I was saying Cameron Tilbury's selection. Actually, Cameron wasn't on the show yesterday, but Austin was. And so we gave a reprise to Can't Outlove Your Memory. Ian Lennox, you're now back with us.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately,
both Emma and Claire have left because they thought it was personal. They thought you put the phone down on them, and I couldn't stop them. They flounced out. They said,
"Oh well,
sorry." There we go.
Happens to me a lot, that, you know.
You're trying so well, and it seemed to be all perfectly okay. And then, of course, they mentioned the Chelsea result, and I thought, "No, it's not going to happen."
Right.
I, of course, equally sad by the London scenarios, because you have a referee in Mark Clattenburg who clearly doesn't know what a penalty actually happens to be, equally you have disastrous time from that point of view with respect to Harry Kane scoring for the penalty, and another one of those Tottenham people daring to actually sort of go along and beat aside from the Etihad, which is just outrageous, but never mind. We'll have to just cope, that's all I can say.
So we've both had a bad week.
It just wasn't
healthy. I think our week was slightly worse than yours, mine, 5-1.
People were a bit concerned, weren't they? You know, I mean, in terms of...
Well, just the performance was disgraceful. Yeah. I mean, I've watched football for more than 60 years now, and that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen, and that's saying something.
And they are the second highest spenders in the Premier League.
At the moment?
Yes.
This season, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just as well as long as you got Mike Ashley, I'm sure it'll all end happily.
Well, he's spending money on it.
Exactly. Back to the Future, 80s versus 90s. Obviously, we're in a retro theme today at the Lincoln Drill Hall. On Saturday, the 27th of February, the Drill Hall's Back to the Future disco parties. Always massive nights. And you're invited to get a gang together. In a positive sense, obviously. Pop on those Dealey Boppers. Never worn them at all, Ian. Were you a Dealey Bopper person?
I don't know what a Dealey Bopper is, actually.
Do you remember My Favourite Martian, where you actually would have things which you'd pop on your head and they would sort of be like sort of spheroid antennae, looking very much like antennae. And so you'd have two antennae, usually with a glitter ball on either end. That's
really?
Yes, that's a Dealey Bopper. Where were you in the 80s, Ian?
Probably asleep.
You could have 5 hours.
It's the best thing to do.
5 hours of top tunes from the decades of the 80s and the 90s, and tickets for that are mere £5. Inquiries to the Lincoln Drill Hall, 01522 873894. Best not mention PJ Proby again, otherwise we'll lose you. So
you've only got a PJ actually.
It's a PJ, right? Yes, yeah. Well, it's we don't know. We decided not to actually do Skype or video links for these particular pieces because we thought that is doing away with the scenery of radio. And let's face it. The strength of radio is that the scenery is so much better than you get in any other media form.
Yes, well, the words are going to make the pictures, aren't they?
Oh, exactly. So what does the rest of the day have in store for your good self, Ian? Is it a case of checking out your Amazon sites to ensure that The Warrior has been selling extremely well?
No, it isn't. I think I'm at the exciting limits of my week is phoning the plumber to get an extra radio to put in the house, or a new radio to put in the house, and doing a bit of shopping. Oh. And probably raising for a couple of coffees with friends.
And presumably you're not getting somebody to actually shop for you as yet, in terms of obviously providing the advice in terms of style and so on. So.
Oh, God, no.
It's very important.
Beyond help on that respect,
yeah.
As far as style is concerned.
Just got to get it sorted through that point of view. Well, yeah. In the next part of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, all being well, we'll be speaking to Alan Stevens. And it'll be the first time Alan, who is the author of this particular text, Ian, you might like to see, I'm holding it up now in front of the microphone, By Your Command, written by Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore, the unofficial and unauthorised guide to Battlestar Galactica, a mere 670 pages of Magic Bullet production scenario there, which is available from all good bookstores as we speak. I was actually credited in the opening sort of sequences, which I thought was quite nicely. We had Ilana Rain, one of our ace directors, and thanks message to myself as well, which is always nice. And we'd like to acknowledge the help of, in no particular order, Matthew Bennett, Paul Winter, Nick Lewis, Ilana Rain, Sean O'Donnell, Alex Leftuke. It's very nice. Anyway.
You were last then.
Yeah, well, you know, last should be first, Ian. It's a biblical thing. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Ian, or would you like to stick around until we actually take the news and come back and sort of have a chat after the news? You know, we've got
I don't mind if you...
Oh, I think let's go with that. You know, because I've been conscious the last couple of weeks we cut you off in your prime because so much to be packed into the programme. We still have a lot to be packed into the programme, but let's face it, you can never in Lincolnshire. I can hear the shouts going out now. You can never have enough Ian Lennox. That's the
clip. Such a thing as a credibility gap, you know, Alex.
You think so? Surely not.
The Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent. High today of 7 degrees centigrade, lows of 0 degrees centigrade. Cold at first, but sunny spells will be appearing later for all areas, which clearly means that the temperature will be going up. So good news as far as the East Midlands is concerned, and of course Lincoln in particular. Tyneside, who knows? Ian Lennox is still with us, sorting his way through. What's your breakfast consisting of, Ian? I mean, we need to know. Let's sort of investigate.
Just a natural scrambled egg and a bit of toast.
Ah, very healthy.
I'm trying to lose weight. I'm putting too much on.
Well, would you be doing the Great North Run later on in the year?
Not, I won't even get a bus on it. No. Right. My daughter does it. My eldest. She's 42 now, my eldest daughter.
Unbelievable.
And last year, she did the Great North Run in 1 hour 38 minutes, I think it was. I think she was 50th fastest woman or something like that, I can't remember. Anyway, she didn't start running until she was in her late 30s because she gave up playing football. And at university she played hockey.
And this is clearly...
But she obviously could have been quite a good runner.
This is clearly one of the reasons why, you know, she should be featured on the programme here. You know, you could keep the Lennox dynasty going from that point of view.
She'd boss you about, Alex.
Well, does she support Newcastle United here?
Oh, ravenly, yes. She's got a season ticket. And she's knowledgeable as well. She knows. She's got a very sort of analytical mind. And
she could analyse Coloccini's activities then.
I never actually asked her about the Coloccini, but I'm not sure she could give it an opinion worth listening to.
It would be worthwhile, exactly.
Yeah. I feel, you know, 5 years ago, he was actually hero worshipped. It shows how fickle fans are, you know. He's now 33, I think. He's slowed down a little bit. He's playing in a poor team that's poorly organised, and people are sort of pinpointing the blame on him. And I just don't think it's fair. He's been a pretty good servant to the club. It was only 3 or 4 years ago they're begging him to stay. He wanted to go back to Argentina, and now they sort of begin to. They have to find a scapegoat because they get so disappointed in the performances, and they tend to pick on just one person rather than be analytical about the whole thing. And Newcastle has been a badly run club for decades, really. Well, that's not true actually, because during the 90s it was a very well run club, but the structure isn't there for a successful club. It actually has now changed the way in which. The philosophy of the club, and he's starting to invest in players, but that's going to take time. And if they go down, I think they're going to lose a lot of the team, the better players, and to start building again. If they stay up, hopefully they'll have learned by their mistakes. They started a system where they basically employed a director of football, but all that meant was that the director of football was bringing in players that the management didn't particularly want, didn't really know about, didn't fit into a system. And they didn't realise that people like Ajax, when they were the first people to employ it, I think, had a system that they maintained over the years. They played a particular formation through all their teams. So when they brought players in, they actually knew what their jobs were. Whereas we've now got a whole stack of players who just don't fit in.
There'll always be a place for them at Lincoln City's football ground. You know, mid-table.
I think I might beat Lincoln City, yes.
Exactly.
The thought of getting on the same pitch as Manchester City at the moment is quite frightening, really. So you're not doing very well at the moment, are you?
Well, we've got another cup final to look forward to. We've got the next stage of Europe. I think, you know, we're fourth in the Premiership, and we've had to cope with referees who, shall we say, questionable. But Pep Guardiola is on his way.
I think the old adage of these things even out over the season is quite applicable here, Alex.
Okay, well, Ian, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
Yes, I have.
Good, excellent. And I take it you'll be back with us in about 7 days from now?
I hope so.
Yay!
And I hope I'll be more cheerful than I am now.
Well, that's really...
I can't be I'm less cheerful because we're not playing for the 14 days.
Exactly, so, you know, absence...
Oh, well, I won't be beaten for over a fortnight, yeah.
Exactly, absence will make the heart grow fonder. She said you walk, you talk. met at a steamy coffee shop in Toronto only a few days after Christmas. There was snow on the ground, and even though we were talking about a television series that had been completed more than 4 years before, I suddenly realised how strongly I was still connected to it. Yes, connection. As Matthew Bennett writes in this magical, magical text, the first word that crossed his mind when he returned to his office after meeting the gracious and brilliant authors of the book, Battlestar Galactica, By Your Command, the unofficial and unauthorized guide to Battlestar Galactica, can only be Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens. Yay! Yes, exactly.
We both got awful colds.
Well, we all three of us have, actually, so it's nice we can sneeze together.
I sound like a Dalek.
Not only that, Sam Stone, David J. Howard, said he's never seen her quite as ill, so he's gone down with the whole thing. Jenny Finch, our other crime writer, she's also very poorly. We've lost three midweek drivettes due to flu bugs, etc. One's almost tempted to feel that maybe there's some kind of outbreak of plague that's out there. Don't panic. I'm sure we'll be all right as long as you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Anyway, good morning, Fiona. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
So we meant to read the introduction, of course, the Battlestar Forward 2014 by Matthew Bennett, also known as Aaron Dorrell, Cylon number 5. Not only because, obviously, you are gracious, you are brilliant from that point of view, but By Your Command, a truly outstanding piece. And, in fact, it was brought to my attention when I was speaking to one of my colleagues, actually, academic Matthew, whose wife is a keen fan. And I said, have I got the text that you should be purchasing for your wife's next birthday? And there we are, Alan Stevens, Fiona Moore, By Your Command, Volume 2. I still do the plugging every 6 or 7 months, Alan. So, yeah, that's the message.
Oh, thank you much.
Thank you.
It's quite all right, because the clear, unmitigated question that we need to be asking both of you today, given that it's taken a few weeks because I thought, well, I could always feel the titanic reverberations emerging from Staines through the world. 2018, Chris Chibnall, in charge, of course, of Torchwood, amongst other fascinating, wonderful episodes of Doctor Who, which I know you've hated with a vengeance that's been almost passionate in many ways, is taking over showrunner duties. Was it, Alan, a case of no? Or do you think, well, there's only one way to go?
Down.
Well, I mean, is it the kind of logical choice? I mean, clearly there's
no, it's not. Well, I mean, if you look at Chris
Chibnall.
Chibnall's, yes. Yeah, sorry.
Couldn't even spit out the surname there, Alan. Never mind. It's okay,
If you look at his CV, it's very impressive. He's got, you know,
Broadchurch.
Broadchurch. Yeah. Law and Order.
Yes. Torchwood.
Ashes episodes he's written for, Doctor Who. So, you know, it's all the big, a lot of the big shows his name is on. So, you know, if you look at that, you think, well, you know, he's ideal.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't get anything. I don't know. I mean, I've never seen... I've heard Broadchurch Series 2 was an absolute laughing stock. Well, I've never seen Series 1. And people have said it's good. And I was talking to someone else, and they said, well, the reason why I thought Broadchurch Series 2 didn't work was because it was only meant to be one series, and it was lengthened out into a second series. But there were a third, I hear. But, I don't know. I mean, I've never seen anything. Possibly dinosaurs on a spaceship, but even then, that's, you know, that's only just adequate, isn't it? You know, I mean, Torchwood was absolutely terrible, and then became absolutely brilliant for one season after he left. Law and Order, which was a show that ran for 20 years in America, he killed off in the 3 in the British version.
On a slight positive note, could we actually say, well, it could have actually gone to Mark Gatiss?
Well, Mark Gatiss is bad. Yeah, I mean, Mark Gatiss is currently, you know, appearing in Dad's Army film.
Yes.
Which is also apparently awful.
It was Richard Fitzwilliams earlier this morning, actually, was not impressed.
What did he say about it?
Oh, you'll have to check out the podcast. The message really that Richard seemed to be alluding to was, yes, great cast, but you can't use a great cast to simply make a great movie. It just doesn't work. It just didn't connect together. Even the BAFTA award-winning director just couldn't pull it round. So
the thing is, you see,
go and see Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. It's a lot better.
The thing is, you see,
you know, there is a formula to Dad's Army, and it's not difficult to get that formula right. You know, they even did a
Don't
film
tell him, Stevens.
Sorry.
Don't tell him, Stevens. Sorry. Sorry. The formula, that's all right. It was an illusion. There is a Dad's Army fan who probably will sort of get that message.
Yeah, they're probably somewhere out there will get that.
Anyway, moving on, let's try and be positive because...
let's not bother trying to do it. Okay. Let's pretend.
Well,
it'll just cause expectation.
I ask you, in a rhetorical sense, both Anna and Fiona, was it just me, when I saw the message from Charlotte Moore, I thought, how bizarre, actually saying, we're going to hold off any new Doctor Who until the Christmas special, and then, of course, 2017, which will be Stephen Moffat's last series, because this year we've got the Euros and the Olympics. Now, I mean, call me sort of slightly offbeat, if you will, and I appreciate there are some folk who, like myself, appreciate sport and appreciate Doctor Who. But surely you're dealing with completely different markets there, unless the BBC are now actually considering that actually Doctor Who is the equivalent to a major sporting event, in which case you maybe do need to revamp the whole thing to get, you know, people who aren't interested in the European championships as far as football is concerned, or the Olympics, to kind of get more into Doctor Who.
I know, I kind of read it, the idea that all Doctor Who fans are Olympics fans, and therefore they wouldn't really be interested in Doctor Who.
No.
The alternative, you know, it's a bit like being a Doctor Who and a Blake Seven fan, you know. But Doctor Who isn't on this year, Blake Seven is, so that's okay.
Exactly.
Or vice versa. But no, it's just crazy.
The Olympics normally run in the summer anyway.
Excellent point, Fiona. Exactly. You know, this is the
thing is.
And as we know from Fear Her, if it hadn't been to the Olympics for the Doctor in 2012, they wouldn't have run at all.
No, it was terrible, wasn't it? Yeah, it was terrible.
Talking of terrible.
Because the thing is, you see, that it's a very, you know, say what you like about Russell T. Davies, and I have said a lot of things about Russell T. Davies because I did not like his tenure on the show for most of it, to be honest. But he was in charge of the show to a much better degree than Russell
Stephen Moffat.
Stephen Moffat, you know, as a showrunner, he thought I'd just write the script. Well, no, as a showrunner, you run the show, that involves being involved with the effects people, involves in doing the merchandise. You did everything. And the fact is, you know, even though he was doing everything, the show still came out every year. You know, Stephen Moffat comes over, he's not doing everything. The merchandise falls to the floor, you know, and yet he seems incapable of producing one season a year. I mean, you know, there was when he took over, there was this huge year gap, where they had to go back to Russell T. Davies and ask him to write a few specials to fill in, which is odd. And then, a couple of years back, there was one season split over 2 years, you know, six episodes, one, you know, and now there is never huge gap, possibly the longest gap.
It's almost as bad as Sherlock, really, in many ways.
Since the show was cancelled. Well,
talking of which.
I mean, they say the reason why is because he can't do both shows simultaneously. But why can't he do? But Russell D. Davies, although I could admit, it wasn't very good. But Russell D. Davies was involved in, Torchwood.
Sarah Jane Adventures.
Sarah Jane's Adventures. And Doctor Who simultaneously. Plus, doing, you know, actually designing stuff, you know, involved in he would check all the merchandise, he would check the spelling on the back of the, you know, how come he can do it, and Moffat can't? And apparently, that's what I've heard, is that Moffat was eventually told, I'm sorry, you're going to have to, you know, you're no longer going to be able to do both two programs, because you can't do two programs, you're just failing at doing it, you know, you're not necessarily saying he's doing it badly.
So in the ultimate revenge, he's got in Chris Chibnall to take over the reins.
Well, the fact is, that's great, isn't that? That's like, you know, that's like Tiberius making Caligula.
Yes.
Yeah, his replacement. Because people look at that and think, you know, we miss Moffat now.
Yes.
Everything, all sins will be forgotten.
They'll be saying, where's the timey-wimey stuff? What's happened? Chibnall's destroyed the show. It's
I've done it already. I'm doing it already. Mm.
John Nathan Turner will be looking up from on high or looking down from on high and thinking, well, there we are, you see, pantomime time coming around.
Well, you know, he hated John Nathan Turner. And he remember, he castigated Pip and Jane Baker.
How could we forget?
But he's the same. He's exactly the same. He's worse. Pip and Jane Baker, you know, whatever their flaws, they were possibly, you know, probably what it was, they were a bit dated.
And let's be honest, Twin Dilemma was not necessarily one of the series' high points.
Well, Twin Dilemma is my Twin Dilemma.
Did they not? Was that
no.
A, oh, right.
No, it was Anthony Stevens,
who actually
was a very accomplished writer, so quite what happened there, I do not know. Some people can't write.
No, the bad one that they're associated with is Time and the Ronnie.
Ah, yes, there we are.
Yeah. Well, the ultimate foe people generally tend to be a bit more forgiving on because they were taking over at the last minute when somebody died. So, you know, you've got to be a little bit sympathetic for that one. And even then, Time and the Ronnie, you know, I think it was more a case of things going wrong than of lack of competence on their part.
I mean, looking at a different franchise, let's take Star Trek, where many people would say, I don't know what's happening with respect to the upcoming movie with Star Trek Beyond, where it seems from the trailer that the Enterprise is destroyed again. But there will be a new series. They have actually brought in one of the sort of second showrunners to actually look after the sequence within the whole zone. Is it a case of, are the BBC getting to a stage now where, unlike some of the people who commissioned and endorsed Russell T. Davies' work on the whole thing, that actually maybe they don't understand the show? Is that what we're getting here? And Charlotte Moore's line, as controller, obviously, BBC 1 and 2, did suggest that, because, you know, say, sporting fans, Doctor Who fans, not necessarily one and the same.
I don't know. There may be a thinly veiled cry for help in there, in that...
why don't you take it over, guys?
We're concerned about our ability to afford to do everything.
Well, this is true, of course, yes. I mean, let's face it, the licence fee may not be there forever. Obviously, that's just one particular opinion. Who knows what could happen with respect to charter renewal in the next 12 months?
There is a huge gap. I mean, if you think about it, the next Doctor Who episode will be the Christmas special. I mean, yeah.
End of the year.
Yeah. And then another gap. Do you mean? I mean, the toy market, when they used to go, when RTD was doing it, you would go into W. H. Smith or you go into Tesco's, and there'd be shelves, you know, heavy with Doctor Who merchandise. And then, you know, now, you don't see any. You've got to go into specialist shops like Forbidden Planet or Galaxy 4 in Sheffield advertised.
Yes.
To you know, see this wonderful stuff, because, you know, it's no longer, you know, I was talking to one of the shop people, and they said, well, he says, a lot of kids don't really, they've sort of got off Doctor Who now. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, although I think Peter Capaldi is a great actor and a great doctor, a lot of kids find him too frightening, you know. And also, these, you know, they don't connect with the stories as well as they did under RTD. I mean, again, I think there was a lot of problems with RTD, you know, and I've gone on ages about it.
We can listen back to the podcast, Alan.
Sorry?
We can listen back to the podcast.
You can listen back to the podcast, me complaining and whining about it. But the fact is, there was an emotional connection with a lot of the RTD stuff. And I think there's a kind of a lack of emotional connection and possibly an over-complexity to the point of being gibberish with some of the Moffat stuff. I mean, I watched all of last season. I enjoyed season 9. I think, you know, you get this. Sometimes you come along and you get a season and it works. And if you're continuing up to feed the monster, things will go wrong. I understand that. But, I mean, I watched last season and I didn't really connect with it. And I've got it on my Skybox now, thinking I've got to watch this through again before I wipe it. And I just cannot commit to it. You know, so far I've managed to watch one episode. You know, I just have no interest at all. And, yeah, I went out yesterday and bought that box set, Myths and Legends, with bloody Underworld on it and The Horns of Nymon. I would rather watch The Horns of Nymon than last season's Doctor Who.
I'm just stunned by Fiona's latest reposting of Arnold Bloomberg saying that he was banned from a George Romero zombie Facebook group.
Did I repost that?
Yeah, it's quite... Anyway, you like that. It's very good.
It's an interesting story, but, you know, I'm just... Yeah, no, I'm looking at my feed. I haven't reposted that. I did hit like on it.
Ah. So what was that? Who was?
Arnold T. Bloomberg got banned from a George Romero group for pointing out an obvious error they were making, which, you know...
What does that mean?
Well, I'm not a Romero fan, but apparently there's some kind of rumor about missing footage from Night of the Living Dead surfacing.
Mm. Yeah.
Which this group was basically saying... propagating, Bloomberg goes on there and says, you know, no, this is a rumor. Look, you know, I know Romero. I'm a zombie expert. You know, I teach this stuff. You know, this is a complete and total rumor, and they banned him from the group.
And that's the kind of challenge. Exactly.
It is crazy, but his point was some people would rather believe the stupid rumor than listen to the expert, which I think has been proven time and time again on the internet.
Do you know what? That's interesting, because there was a guy called J.R. Seifel, and he went on an Anderson website recently. And said to them, listen, there's a book coming out, and we're interested in people contributing and writing essays about, you know, Thunderbirds, and these are the episodes we would like you to cover, and he put all the episodes up. He was doing it on behalf of a friend of his. And someone came on and says, why don't you mention the new three episodes? The brand new ones. He says, well, they haven't come out yet. Yeah, but why didn't you mention them? Well, how can you review three episodes that haven't come out? No one's seen them. Yeah, but you know, you should include them.
It's obviously taken from the Stephen Moffat approach to life and timey-wimey-ness. There we are.
And eventually they deleted his post. How crazy!
It's the challenges of social media, as Stephen Fry obviously found out with Twitter recently, as of course we went through. So clearly we can speculate, we can talk through a whole variety of things as far as the new series is concerned. A bit of a gap, clearly, from that perspective. I suppose you could argue that Big Finish will sort of fill in with a few sort of aspects, but that's not a patch on Magic Bullet Productions, as we said. My question remains the same. Would you consider becoming in charge or taking over some of the production lines yourself, Fiona and Alan? I mean, in terms
what,
of...
What, Doctor Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Not a TV producer.
See, the thing is, you know...
Well, that has been said about Chris Chibnall as well.
As much as an armchair TV producer, you know, I'm not... But give me the money, all of a go. I couldn't do any worse, could I?
The challenge has been laid. There we are, you've heard it here.
I mean, I did CT.
Exactly.
You know, it can't be much different, can it?
Precisely.
Really? I mean, that was... Do you see my drug-smoking CT issue?
It still resonates with us, even today. Yeah. We need to briefly, and I know we've left it quite some time here, because it took me a wee while to actually get around to seeing it myself, the brides, the husbands of River Song, was it a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas in terms of the sequence, or did you think...
I'd completely forgotten about that. Awful, wasn't it?
That sums it up, really.
Terrible, it was like watching.
About
yeah, I mean, going back to Big Finish, they appeared to be playing a very clever strategy, to be fair to them. They realised that there's this huge desert stretching ahead of them, and they've managed to.
They've got David Tennant and.
Get the rights to various New Who elements, including River Song herself and the War Doctor, and, are effectively. DWM have given them front page coverage. Now, I can perfectly understand this from DWM's perspective because, you know...
it's Doctor Who Monthly, in case you're wondering.
Because when they... because when there was that huge dearth, you know, when they just had like, four specials in 1 year, you know, Doctor Who Adventures magazine took a huge hit to its audience, and Doctor Who magazine, DWM, did also. And that was when you had four specials. And now you've got this sort of huge desert ahead with no specials at all. So I think they're thinking, well, you know, if we can somehow keep the pot boiling by... but I'm not sure that's going to work because a lot of fandom aren't... You know, people who buy Doctor Who magazine and watch TV show, they're not necessarily, you know, audio interested. Audio is a different medium. So I think it will do Big Finish a good... You know, I think that won't do them
well,
any harm.
After The Prisoner, their only way is up, really, from that point of view.
Well, I don't know. I see, the thing is, I've read good reviews about it,
ooh,
but whenever I've heard a trailer from it, it hasn't sounded too good. Have you heard it?
Well, they've got the Avengers series coming up as well, so...
Have you heard The Prisoner?
I haven't heard the thing in its entirety, but I've caught the mixed reviews, and I thought, maybe, but we'll just have to wait and see, really.
Yeah, I mean, I it sounds a bit strange to me.
But isn't
Patrick McGoohan impersonation.
Exactly. Isn't that always the way with Nick Briggs? Just a little bit strange, and that's why we appreciate it.
Nick Briggs isn't playing him.
No, but he could be.
I think probably... I'd originally heard that Nick Briggs had said what we need is the best, greatest actor, but someone who isn't entirely in the focus of the public. Mm. Someone who could come out left field and yet really grip it. And I thought, it's going to be him. He's going to play it.
Clearly. Exactly. Well, he's done Sherlock Holmes, but maybe he stepped aside.
He didn't do it.
Telefantasy Society 2, we're beginning to talk with Derek Hamley about the possibility of something happening in November this year, probably on Saturday, or indeed early spring next year. So we'll just, I just wanted to sort of float that out there for the wonderful founding fathers and mothers, of course, of Telefantasy Society 1, which again still carries with it certain magic and air elements. So that's still to come. In fact, I have a meeting next week to talk a bit more about that.
Didn't we go to that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we were there, weren't we?
You were there, exactly.
I'm glad.
Yes.
Oh, exactly. Listen, I'll tell you what. If you wanted to, we could do. I've just written an essay.
Excellent.
On the Dalek, the TV Century 21, yeah. Dalek comic strip.
Well, you see, there we have it. You know,
and I spent four weeks researching it. If you want to lecture on that. I know more now about that anyway out of Sheena Echelon of a Dwarf.
Well, I do hope you managed to catch Sam Stone's The Stone Tapes a few months back, where we actually did a feature with Robin Bierce on the TV21 script as well.
No, I didn't. No, please send me a link, seriously. Send me a link on that.
I will do that.
I like now.
Well, within the next few moments, I shall track it down.
No!
You want me to multitask on the whole sort of thing?
Well, I can't multitask at all. Is that true about men being able to multitask women doing it? Because I can't. Can you do it, Diana?
Find a podcast?
No, I mean multitask.
Multitasking the whole thing.
Is it a mental brain thing?
Some people would actually say we shouldn't. Technically, human beings aren't designed to actually multitask in any way, shape, or form. But let me just see where we're actually looking at from that point of view. Capable Hands, is it Volume 6? We'll find the thing through. I don't want you to send into the whole sort of package. I've got onto the bright page. So that's always important for me. Meanwhile, time has scooted by in a strange, bizarre Moffat esque way. Have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the production today?
Yes.
We have.
Good. And will you rejoin us in the very near future and keep us appraised of life with respect to Caldor City, Magic Bullet, and other things as we actually just wait with bated breath to see what the Chibnall era might emerge? Of course, long before that, we have another season of Stephen Moffatness to
actually see. Yes, but the fact is, you're not going to hear us from us tonight until Christmas, are you?
No, that's right. We'll find a way. Well, there's always a way. You know, we cannot be Caldor City less for that length of time. They will return in every sense of the word, and I will actually endeavour to look at the necessary link for that. I normally would have actually had a descriptor of the whole sort of sequence in the area, but we'll find it. I'm sure we will find it. I suspect it might be the Doctor Who theme special, which will be Volume 5, so I'll send you a link to that. That's it then. Take care. Happy trails. Yep. By the way, how are Zhukov and Aisha?
Aisha?
Well.
Aisha is good. Great.
Yep.
And Zhukov is good as well.
Yeah, they're both good. Aisha's currently sitting in the window still looking out at the world.
Well, that's...
Spooky's on the bed.
And probably sort of contemplating life with two slightly poorly master and mistresses.
They sneeze
through the whole thing. Exactly. It's a dreadful start. And it's all so peaceful here. There's no one bending over my shoulder. Nobody breathing in my ear. Hopefully it is peaceful here or there or wherever you happen to actually be. 9:35 is the time as we approach 24 minutes to 10 o'clock, and hopefully time zones being what they are, we can actually go up to Scotland and find out what William Coles is doing with his wife's phone at present. Don't do that, William! It's amazing. Margot, of course, we thank hugely for facilitating the notion of having a spouse who forgets their charger and therefore needs to have a completely different number. William Coles, welcome back to the Midweek Drive
Morning
Edition.
Good morning, Alex.
And where are you, sir?
I'm in Creef, of all places. Ever heard of Creef? It's near Stirling.
Oh. There we are. And, you know, interesting enough, just looking at the website of composer and conductor William Cole. Nothing to do with you at all, actually. It's quite interesting. But I thought there was only one William Cole in the whole sort of system. But no, obviously that's a different line entirely.
There are scores of them.
There's only one ace author. There is, of course, a botanist who is around from that point of view. And that ace author is, of course, on wcoles.com. Welcome.
Thank you.
William Coles. It's critical. You should have actually had the definite article in there, so that was, I'm the William Coles. Or you could have actually said, I'm a William Coles, which might be another sort of line to work through. And suggest, of course, that could be clones.
That would have been a bit presumptuous to have the definite article there. What about the indefinite article, I'm a William Coles?
Yeah, I think so. And it equally opens up the possibility for cloning as well, which is a whole new sort of scene. So is this the half-term break that you're enjoying at present?
Yes, it's a half-term break. We are at one of the hydros. If you've ever heard of a hydro, they are used to be health spas and dry as well. Didn't serve any alcohol for a long time.
Good heavens.
You come up to these places in Crepe and Peebles and take the waters.
Oh. Like Bath, of course. Bath Spa. And the Romans used to actually do this. I'm very impressed, actually, with the bookshelf I've just actually worked through here in terms of buy the books on wcoles.com. Not only have we actually got The Woman Who Was the Desert Dream, Mr. Two Bomb, Simon Cowell, The Sex Factor, Dave Cameron's School Days, The Spare Air Handbook, and, of course, Red Top. Actually, I realise I'm clearly missing some in my ever-growing and expanding William Coles collection here from that point of view.
You let me know, and I'll ensure that you have the full box set by the end of the week.
My word, it's wonderful. So what's the weather like up in Crieff?
No, it's rather nice. It's crisp and frosty. Yesterday we were sledging, but it's all been rained off now. And, yes, it's wonderful. Only a cloud in the sky. Might go do some walking this afternoon.
It's that kind of slushy thing that we're never quite sure of in every sense of the word. And as we obviously continue ever onwards with respect to what in Europe has been defined as, is it a one-shirt, two-shirt or three-shirt event? In other words, how many shirts do our politicians have to keep or pack with them before they can actually work through that? Is Scotland resonating with respect to the possibility of renegotiating European Union treaties? Or is it just a case of, the Sassenachs all sorted out for us?
They've got a very canny plan. They are will be voting to stay in Europe. And when the rest of the UK says we're out of Europe, they'll say we want another referendum. And they hope, Scots hope, that that will be their exit out of the UK, or at least the Scots Nats.
So technically, we are conceivably faced with, in our generation, to paraphrase Edward Heath back in the 1970s, before you were born, obviously, William, but faced with that possibility that we might well see not only Brexit, but also a Great Britain, which is effectively England and Wales.
And Northern Ireland.
Of course.
Yes. Yes, indeed. How long is a generation before the Scots Nats get their way and off they go?
Yeah. Wearing your journalistic hat, and when don't you, let's face it, because it's always important. You can take journalism out of the boy, but you can't ask what some sort of variation of that sort of system. We hear that although the Independent has switched to an online scenario, apart from it's been taken out, it seems as though we're literally days away from a new national newspaper being launched.
Are we? I'm in the boondocks here. I didn't know that. What's it called? Is it a tabloid or is it a broadsheet?
It's produced by Trinity Mirror. That might give you a clue. It's going to be a cut-price national newspaper, and it's going to be called New Day.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to be launched within a fortnight. So clearly it's a new cut-pipe national, expected to be called New Day. Sounds a bit like a slightly dodgy religious cult, actually, New Day, but it's a whole routine.
You want to play that song? What's the song that goes, it's a new dawn, it's a new day?
You know, I'm sure that actually that whole sort of element will have been considered by the marketing people, and they might well consider it from that point of view. In fact, we could have had the Shapeshifters and New Day. We've got Brand New Day, of course, Van Morrison or Codaline. We've got Alicia Keys singing New Day. we can promote it from that point of view. News of the launch, of course, comes less than a week after the sale of the I newspaper to regional newspaper Johnston Press was concerned and confirmed. And in fact, Johnston Press, of course, north of the border. So a possibility of more coverage in the I, at least, of Scottish newspapers and so on. Launched in 2010 and currently a circulation of 268,431. There we are. Northern Shell, of course, continue ever onwards with respect to halving the price of the Star. Daily, of course, now costing 20 pence and lots of other sort of things. Clearly, after that initial notion of launching New Day, the writer decided to get bored and just padded with the rest of the sort of things in terms of various other sort of factors.
New Day sounds a bit like a sort of communist magazine, doesn't it?
Well,
good luck to them. I'm all for as many papers as possible. Doubtless this will be another lefty one. Like the Mirror, but you never know. They might decide to go to the other end of the political spectrum.
Well, exactly. And the team is actually being led by Sunday Mirror editor Alison Phillips.
All right.
And originally it was known internally as Project Nightingale. I sense another book coming out of here, Bill, just on the basis of launching a new national newspaper.
Launching a national newspaper, you would need very deep pockets. I mean, this Britain must have the most cutthroat competitive newspaper industry in the world. And if you're launching a new one, wow, you're going to have to spend a lot of money.
And apparently it's targeting female readers. So there's a surprise. Mirror Insider has described it as the worst kept secret on Fleet Street. But I thought everybody had left Fleet Street now.
They have left Fleet Street. I don't think there's anyone left on Fleet
Street.
Exactly. Maybe Reuters might still be there.
It went the way of liquid lunches and a variety of other ways in which you'd actually sort of endorse the whole sort of sequence. Never mind. Do you ever get a hankering to go back into journalism, Bill? Or is it a case of, no, I am a writer now. Did Dickens go back to actually doing reports on the situations of Victorian London once he'd actually cracked his text? No, he actually went on tour and used to provide readings on his books.
I love writing little comic pieces and occasionally doing features, but actual hard news, no, I have had complete burnout. I used to work in New York and for The Sun, and did a lot of huge stories there, including Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton. And when I came back, I found that I had completely lost interest in news. So me and news is completely hopeless. I've lost it. Can't do it anymore.
And there we have it. Apparently, according to a broking company, Trinity Mirror's proposed cut-price national newspaper launch is a low-risk exercise. It's whatever a low-risk exercise might actually entail. You may be wondering, where are the Midweek Drivettes? Well, they left us in the first hour of the programme, primarily because Emma went off to eventually do some shorthand, and Claire went off to actually see her doctor, or the doctor, one of the two, and everybody else has been struck with flu and flu bugs, which includes partly myself, but I have to be brave because in around about 9 hours from now, I have been asked to host an MC, the official national, or at least Teesside Awards, for the cycling groups of the North East. That's another cycling and so on. So,
right. Is that going to be a low-risk exercise?
I would hope so, but it is that awards ceremony, and I may have to come off Twitter at the end of the whole event, because I've probably sort of created sort of some sort of furore with a general sort of comment about people's attire, which I won't sort of do, because it's smart but casual, I think, is the official line. Do you feel we have too many awards, Bill? Because it was a debate I was having with Richard Fitzwilliams earlier in the production, and I think, surely BAFTAs... We've got the Brits, we've got, obviously, the Academy Awards, we've got the Football League Awards. Do you think we are just award-crazy in Britain?
I think they're all very nice. Everyone likes getting a gong and being able to say award-winning broadcaster Alex Lucha. That's nice. And the cream rises to the top. I mean, amongst the acting awards, we all know the only one that counts is an Oscar, and all the rest are neither here nor there, apart from maybe the Razzies.
Or the Golden Globes, but either way.
The Golden Globes. So all the awards. Everyone knows which of the awards worth having. Nobel Prize for Literature, obviously. Booker Prize means nothing now.
Precisely. never mind. It's a case of we are all rewarded with the gift of life. That's why we've won the lottery of life simply through being here, which is very important. Further news with respect to this Trinity Mirror production, Chief Executive Simon Fox has not been afraid to experiment and abandon failing projects. And as evidence of that, people.co.uk, which is a BuzzFeed-style website, launched in November 2013 and closed in January 2014. So there we are. Anyway, who would have thought we'd actually sort of address that particular aspect whilst you're on holiday, chilling out and various other things. Are you currently working on your next book, William?
Of course I am. I'm churning them out with no loss of enthusiasm.
Excellent. And do we get any sort of sneak previews in terms of the theme or the concept? Or say no, shh, until Legend Press effectively get the unambiguous scenario there, I can say nothing.
Yes, of course I can give you a preview. It's a series of 10,000-word stories, sort of fables or parables. And the first one is about a story from 400 years ago, set in Turkey. It's ancient history, but actually it is the sort of message has never been more relevant, and that is that we construct cages for ourselves, which are very comfy and cozy, but you're not actually stretching yourself. You're not actually living life to the full.
And surely that's what we're here to do, effectively, to explore the whole system. Yes, very good. Again, just an absolute outstanding. I mean, I feel William Sitwell, who is somewhere in the world but wasn't sure about the time zones, has clearly got so much to live up to by his namesake there, because once again, you've taken that baseball and battered it right out of the proverbial metaphysical broadcasting stadium. William?
Well, you bring out the best in me.
Oh, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been more than reasonably interesting. It's been fantastic.
Well, there we are, you see. We can't even randomly sort of reflect on people's breakfast habits, cereal habits, or any other Columbo-type questions. Just one more thing. I take it then you'll return in the very near future?
Anytime you ask me, I'll be there.
Hurrah! Time, I feel, for some Van Morrison. When all the dark clouds roll away, young sun begins to shine. See my freedom from across the way, and it comes right in on time. When it shines so bright, yeah, my mind, and it seems like, yes, it feels like. Have been joined and blessed once again by the guru of the diary creator extraordinaire, John Wenham. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Very good. Listening into the programme and decided I'll just have a wander up there, because you were quite surprised Richard Fitzwilliams didn't really give a thumbs up to Dad's Army.
I was, yes. Mind you, I'm a Dad's Army fanatic.
You've got all series?
I've got the whole series on DVD, plus the feature film. Mm. The original feature film,
yes. And have you seen the latest incarnation?
I haven't seen the latest incarnation, no. Oh. I'd like to see it. I'm waiting to see it, actually. Well,
clearly that's going to be something which will be on your list of things to do. Exactly.
I think it's coming to the venue soon.
Oh, well, that's night out, in every sense of the word. Coming up later on Siren, we've got the fabulous World of No Adults Allowed. We've got another drive time that's coming through. I do believe it's a rerun of Inspired On Air at 7 o'clock this evening, which Michael Blackburn and myself co-hosted yesterday with the news of self-publishing, and indeed a wonderful chap who was writing about a rat in his army tent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's all to come as far as Siren's concerned, plus great music that follows this particular production. Onwards, thanks as far as today's Midweek Drive Morning Edition is concerned to Emma Tinson and Claire Margerison. Get well soon to everybody else. To Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Alan Stevens, and William Coles, thank you. And thank you, John, for stepping by and just kind of, you know, looking in on us and seeing how we're doing, how we're working through that whole process.
Pleasure, and trying to sort of comfort you in your flu-like symptoms.
Well, I blame the fact that you sneezed in the office the other day. That triggered the whole thing through. But, you know, we'll have to cope. That's the important thing. And we will, because that's what we do. So that's it. It's Happy Trails from us. We leave you with the Specials and Stereotype, and then just a little bit of Heaven Knows by Squeeze to take us round to the news. Would you like to say goodbye, John?
Well, goodbye to all our listeners. Thank you very much.
Let's say au revoir. It sounds so faux.
Au
revoir. Yeah. Exactly. We will meet again some sunny day, somewhere.